was December the 6th, 1983. I was doing time for armed robbery. At 4 in the morning, I was sitting in my cell. I heard a whistle blow. Then I heard somebody yell.
There's a riot going on. There's a riot going on. There's a riot going on. Up in cell block number 9.
Welcome, my friend. Take no prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. This is the start of our second hour. I apologize. I have the hiccups, my friends, among other ailments, among other physical and mental ailments. Take your pick. In fact, the homework exercise for this week, friends, is please send me in your strict psychological diagnoses based upon the DSM-6 or 7-R. And we'll take it under advisement. Oh, but I do apologize if I'm hiccuping. I do apologize if your computer appears to be hiccuping at the moment. I have nothing to do with it. So that's my official disclaimer. So, friends, thanks for joining me. Let's continue with this lovely response to this turn on me. We asked it. We told him that we were worried for his professional welfare by his confession of a lack of understanding of negotiable instruments. When he made the statement, as you should well be aware, the foreclosure sale never occurred, and therefore there are no funds. And then we said, are you holding, as you are holding the instrument, we could have said, as you have somehow, for some reason, elected to continue holding the instrument, despite the fact that you say the sale was canceled, and have failed to exhibit a notice of dishonor from Treasury, in parenthesis, see the certificate of non-performance, dated with a particular date, it would seem that you have confessed to misappropriation of funds, impairing payment, and withholding consideration. How's that for a day in the life of an attorney? Accordingly, I am attaching an affidavit to ensure that you have ample occasion to clear your name under oath. How much kinder could we be to this attorney on me? A copy is being filed in the county to ensure the public record. To rise to the level of rebuttal, your response must be sworn under penalty of perjury. This is your opportunity to plead on the record your firsthand knowledge of the scam to which you refer and the principle of commercial law that identifies a foreclosure sale rather than the maker's signature as the source of the funds you are hoarding. You might also address the presumption that holding the funds and your consideration does not comprise piracy in the Admiralty or at the very least a violation of sections 1023, 1025, 1503, 1651, and 1658 of Title 18. New paragraph. In the unfortunate event of an unverified response, they love to do that, don't they? Or the filing of any frivolous action, such as that nonsense he was threatening, it would be necessary to prosecute the DR violations to disbarment and invite you under subpoena to visit the state of whatever. Proposed draft criminal complaints, state and federal, are available upon request of counsel for your review and editing, thereby ensuring your administrative opportunity to plead. In fact, the first draft of this letter included copies of those complaints when we decided to withhold them. In my experience, grand juries are spellbound when a private party or public official such as myself makes direct presentation of official misconduct, especially on the part of attorneys acting in conspiracy for personal profit or shielding prosecution. And folks, we'll get to the 1099 issue after a 3-minute break. You don't want to go away.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hey everybody, this is James Martinez from the Cash Flow Show. I want to ask you one question and one question only. You're ready to change your life. Now, as you begin to think about that question, how many of you are swimming in credit card debt, tired of credit cards controlling your life, behind on your payments, struggling to make ends meet, all that, worried about your financial well-being? You're going to end that now. Enough is enough. This is hot. Are you ready to feel good now? That's right. Call our toll-free number and listen to our 12-minute overview. It explains who we are and what we do to end your credit card debt. Leave your name and number after the message and do it today. Call 888-213-7655. That's 888-213-7655. Freedom is a phone call away. Away. Away for you to feel good now. 888-213-7655. 888-213-7655.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
Glad you made it. On the left, you'll notice a coin slot.
Welcome back, my friends. Dollars only, please. As to the issue of the 1099s, think about it. Can the notary issue a corrected 1099? What if the notary did issue a 1099? Would the notary not be guilty of a tax fraud? Notary is not a principal in this action. Notary has no standing. The notary is invisible. As to the 1099s, a list of former public officials and court officers, important to point that out to attorneys, rendered uninsurable and inoperative after similar distress of their bonds is available on request of counsel. By the way, folks, if you want to start compiling your own list, download this program from the email, secure those two judges' names at the beginning of the program, and now you have a little list. Then it says in bold, you may wish counsel to contact the principal directly to see if it is too late for you to remedy your dishonor. And then the rest is nonsense after this. So he sent a pretty strong letter, and that is a pretty strong rebuttal. We'll see what the outcome is. I have a feeling that's the last we'll hear from that attorney. Now, we had another notary challenge. In fact, we had two of them this week that I'm aware of. There may have been more in separate states where the administrative agency itself came forth and attempted to challenge the statutory authority of the notary and, in fact, attempted to either call them in for hearings or begin a presumptive procedure whereby it's already assumed that they're guilty of violations that aren't even specified, and then leaving it up to them to provide proof of claim and request an appeals hearing of some sort. This one said, enclosed is a copy of a notary public complaint form executed by a certain party alleging that you have violated the duties and responsibilities of your office as a whatever state notary public. The complaint includes copies of three documents containing your signature and notary seal. There was no valid notarial certificate on any of the documents. The documents are entitled due presentment under notary seal, notary certificate of service, and certified deposit order. The first document references a presentment which was not in the form of a proper protest to an instrument that is covered under the Texas, I just gave the state away, didn't I? Well, the morons are sending me an email, I'm voted out of the club. Under the Texas Uniform Commercial Code, section 406.01, subparagraph A, subparagraph 2. Understand what they just said. The first document references a presentment which was not in the form of a proper protest. Since when is a presentment a protest? A protest occurs after the presentment is dishonored. So they're leading him down a pathway here. They want this guy or gal out. And it says, provides a notary, it quotes that section. Section 406.016A2 of the Texas Government Code provides that a notary may only protest instruments permitted by law to be protested. There are no documents referenced that constitute an instrument that is permitted by law to be protested. The documents have no legal basis and purport to give you authority as a notary that you do not have. Now, that's an interesting challenge. The notary needs to have understood in advance whether or not the notary, since the notary is a commission fiction actor office, whether the notary was acting within the stipulated powers, the scope of powers of that office. Now, we had another one, which I won't read you, but it was a similar type protest, but much more vague on what was being challenged. They sent a code section, but it has maybe 11 or 12 subsections. And here is the response to that. Thank you for your letter of such and such. Clarification is required. The letter is missing an affidavit in support and or exhibits. Consequently, I am denied a due process opportunity for cogent rebuttal. Perplexingly, the letter also fails to specify the subsection of section, whichever one they quoted, of the particular code, rendering the charge mute as an operation of law. I am no more able to respond than if I was charged with violating the, let's say, the revised code of Florida or Emily Post's rules of etiquette. In other words, I don't know what to respond to, which is the way they had intended it. So now we turn it around on them. As a public official, your understanding of due process is presumed. I would like to give you an opportunity to correct this egregious oversight and avoid personal liability outside your qualified immunity. To ensure due process and the integrity of the public record, an affidavit is annexed here to affording you the opportunity of a verified response under penalty and pains of perjury containing specific charges and violations of specific sections of code, evidence of an injured party, evidence of jurisdiction in the absence of a controversy, and evidence of specific violations other than simply returning my own documents without cause. To ensure that anyone making a claim brings their personal liability to the table, I am attaching bonded promissory note number, whatever, to settle any claims, injuries, and liabilities attributed to legal fiction, that would be the notary's legal fiction name, and indemnify the parties for acts and omissions of good faith. Please note that the Secretary of the Treasury is a co-beneficiary, and the note routes through a bond I have deposited to your benefit in escrow with the Department of Treasury. In the event due process is denied, I will issue a warrant for the arrest of the bond of the offending public official and instruct IRS to foreclose on the liability. A list of former public officials who have violated public policy is available upon counsel's request. This letter and affidavit are being recorded in the county record to ensure no party can disavow their own actions. And then below that, at the end of the letter, there's a little paragraph that says that the party is requesting a hearing, at which time I will require your verified response to the affidavit. If no response is forthcoming, I will expect you to dismiss this action, or I will present you with a proposed draft copy of a criminal complaint regarding your actions in this matter for you to review and edit prior to my presentation to the grand jury. In my experience, grand juries are spellbound when private parties disclose official misconduct. Excuse me for repeating that, but if I find something that works, like John Candy and Splash, I stick with it. Next paragraph. This is unusual coming from Sam Kennedy, but here's what we said. I will also sue you in your personal capacity and provide you the opportunity to clear your name by issuing a subpoena, deuces tecum, for all of your records and your testimony under oath. Folks, what is this about? Why on earth did this party go to argument? Well, very simple. Because it's a done deal. They're going to lift that license unless strong action is taken. And if the actions of the notary have been ethical and legal within the framework of the scope of powers, then it may take any one of these ideas, a mild letter, a stronger letter, proposed criminal complaint, bonding of the case, etc., to wake them up that there are ramifications for gross violations of due process. They do it all the time, but it stops with me. I'm not a principal here. But you might say that my heart is and soul are in this. So, in a letter like this, we always like to put in a disclaimer that this letter is not intended to harass, coerce, blackmail, or cause alarm, anxiety, or distress of any kind. It is intended to seek a lawful administrative settlement consistent with all applicable law. All right, just one final topic. I've had a lot of emails about repossession, and yes, we are working on a package for that. I'll have some news about that shortly. I don't want to waste a lot of time here, just 1 minute on it. Basically, we are making payments, and we are seeking to repossess those funds that are in their possession after we make payment, defaulting them appropriately, and seeking their consent to repossess the funds and to release the liens in their name by way of a self-executing power of attorney. And at the same time, we are conducting an arbitration hearing. All of you folks in foreclosure, look at the arbitration clause in your loan or lease agreements. They write it, they have a very little, they actually write it to your advantage, they just don't know it. And then they put in a little disclaimer in there that is intended to protect them in a small way. First of all, they say it needs to be heard by an attorney or a retired judge. But the term attorney means agent. It does not mean attorney at law. Well, that's what we meant. Then show me where it appears in the contract. And through the arbitration award, we intend to award the full funds and the property and the public policy, order their paying the arbitration fee, and take it through a very brief court process, which won't even require the intervention of a judge, for the stamp of approval of the court requiring full faith and credit, and then rebadge the vehicle. Bye-bye, finance company. We'll be talking more about that in the future. Anyway, my friends, I'd like to welcome a guest to the program. His name is Keith Livingway. Many of you know of him. He's the founder of the cancellateur process, which many of you are familiar with, for manifesting in the real world your sovereign beliefs. And we don't normally have guests of a topic that's off the topic of the day, but it's my pleasure to have him here today. I thank him for being here. And Keith, welcome to the program. Thank you for joining me.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you, Keith. Hey, look, Keith, I understand you have, well, Keith, that music has terrible timing, doesn't it?
Always.
We're going to go to break in a minute, and then we're going to be devoting the balance of the program to you, your process, and I understand a series of seminars that you're offering, and I know the listeners would like to hear that. Thanks for joining me, folks. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. Don't go away.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Welcome back, my friends. We're here at Take No Prisoners talking to Keith Livingway, who, for lack of a better phrase, was the originator of the cancellatura process and now has, I believe, even more sophisticated and interesting sovereign technologies available. Keith, before we get into it, if you don't mind, I'd like to just give a little background here. Can you, in a nutshell, in a few seconds, tell us what cancellatura was or is?
Originally, what I thought that was to cancel the account in the Federal Reserve that the birth certificate was deposited into.
And that dated back a good 10 or 12 years, did it not?
Yeah, it was 1996.
And it's safe to say you were pretty successful with that.
Yeah, I was.
You used it personally. How extensively was that dispersed other than you?
I didn't catch that word.
How extensively was that process utilized around the country beyond you?
Quite a bit. The problem was that a lot of people started changing it.
Well, of course, that always happens. Well, let's look at it in its original base form, then we'll move on to the new stuff and the seminars that you're running. I've seen some of those materials, and basically there were some very simple documents not reams and reams of materials to bog down public officials so that they toss it in the ground file. And you basically went in and did, in a way, an abatement of sort and a reversal on car registrations and other things of that sort. Is that correct?
Right. If you didn't have that account in the Federal Reserve, you couldn't get any of that stuff anyway. You didn't qualify for it.
Very good. And that's led up to, do you have a name for your current process?
Right now, it's Stewards for the Trustee.
Stewards for the Trustee. And the name of your website, please, before we forget?
That would be sovereignswithoutsubjects.com.
Sovereignswithoutsubjects.com, folks. Sovereigns Without Subjects. Very good. So Keith, tell us what you're doing.
Right now, I'm putting image training or de-image training seminars together.
All right. So by de-image training, you mean you're taking patriots and deprogramming their belief system?
No, just removing the images that are currently in their mind that are basically false.
Okay, what sort of images? Give me an example, please.
And
by the way, let me preface this by saying I've heard some of your material, and some of your early material, and the first time I heard you, I thought this guy's got a real different, clever, interesting, bright take on the things he's hearing in the world.
Yeah, I've been in the judicial districts for a long time, so I've been able to see the world from an outside point of view.
What do you mean by judicial districts?
That'd be the judicial district of 10.
Yes, which is derived from?
Exodus chapter 18.
Yeah, anybody who hasn't read Exodus needs to read it.
It's the only government that was ever blessed by the Most High, the only form of government.
But wasn't it Moses' father who said to Moses, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens, as the framework for the law, and that if they couldn't answer the questions at those levels, to bring them to Moses?
Yes.
Yes. All right, so how do you apply...
That was his father-in-law that said that, and then it said if
father-in-law. Hang on, Keith. It was his father-in-law.
Yeah.
Well, then I've got to cut this phone call off.
Okay.
You've lost all credibility. Get the heck out of here. All right, so it was his father-in-law. Well, folks, it shows you have to read the white on the page. All right, so that is the framework for law. How does that apply to modern times, Keith?
It has never changed. That type of government is in Greece. It's in Italy. It's all through Europe. The Indians, not meaning the, I'll just say it for a lack of a better word, the American Indians here had it. The Eskimos have it. Basically, all over the world, it's the same type of system.
Is it safe to say it would be close to virtually unknown among most United States public officials?
There you go.
All right.
It's
so
not
what
virtually
are you doing
No, let me restate that. It's not virtually unknown. They don't like to recognize it because the current system that's here cannot survive if the TENS system is in place.
But if I were to go in traffic court and say, excuse me, I'm standing here under the jurisdiction of the District of TENS and the law of Yahweh subtended through Moses, the average judge probably would not know a lot of what I'm saying.
No, they would.
Absolutely.
Don't know exactly what that is.
All right. Well, what are you basing that upon? Because I'll tell you, I had a conversation with a local traffic judge just about a week ago. I actually know her from 30 years ago and didn't realize she was a judge now, and she knew none of this.
You have to bring it to today's terms.
Okay, how do you do that?
You have what they call county commissioners now, but originally they used to be magistrates. And those magistrates had jurisdiction in the TENS jurisdiction is where they originally were, but they were converted over to county commissioners.
All right, so are you then, is your process designed to fill those vacant de jure offices which have been abandoned to de facto officers, such as county commissioners, or are you bringing the county commissioners back into a de jure performance status?
Actually, we're giving them somewhat of a choice. If they don't want to, then we'll take it. Actually, those
offices
were not...
Let me ask you to pause. My apologies. You're going to break, then we have a long segment. We have a lot to talk about. If necessary, we'll continue this on the next program as well, if you're agreeable. Folks, you're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Please don't go away. We're having a very interesting discussion with Keith Livingway. Minutes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hey everybody, this is James Martinez from the Cash Flow Show. I want to ask you one question and one question only. You're ready to change your life. Now, as you begin to think about that question, how many of you are swimming in credit card debt, tired of credit cards controlling your life, behind on your payments, struggling to make ends meet, all that, worried about your financial well-being? You're going to end that now. Enough is enough. This is hot. Are you ready to feel good now? That's right. Call our toll-free number and listen to our 12-minute overview. It explains who we are and what we do to end your credit card debt. Leave your name and number after the message and do it today. Call 888-213-7655. That's 888-213-7655. Freedom is a phone call away. Away. A way for you to feel good now. 888-213-7655. 888-213-7655.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-drying foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Welcome back, my friends. We're here talking with Keith Livingway. And, Keith, is there a name I can give to the seminars that you're presenting that people will recognize it?
Yeah, Stewards for the Trustee.
Stewards for
the Trustee.
I'll never remember that. I know I'll never remember it because I just asked you that, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Stewards for the Trustee. All right, well, folks, for those who don't know what that means yet, It basically refers to those who believe they're sovereign acting as a sovereign. Would that be accurate?
Yes, fulfilling fiduciary responsibilities that they need to fulfill. Well, and also wanted to go back to just before the first segment ended. What I wanted to do was tell you that it wasn't necessarily the officials that abandoned those offices. It was the people that abandoned those offices. And when they did, it, not necessarily by their own doing, it was done by a sophisticated process of image training in schools and things that happened to them when they were children. And people could also look at this as naturalization.
Well, I think most patriots would readily agree that the public school system is a system of indoctrination into becoming a compliant robot under a corporate jurisdiction.
Right.
So what do you do in the first day of these seminars? These are two-day seminars, correct?
Yeah, these are a couple days. We might have to bring them into 3 days, but they are 2 days, and they're going to be every month.
I'm not asking to plug the seminar. I'd like to give a framework. I want people to know that. What I'm trying to do is give a framework to what it is you're doing, because I think it's very valuable and interesting material. On the first day, you're doing this image training, correct?
Yes, and there has to be a certain amount of surprise, because what I'm doing is I'm going to reach a part of your heart that you're not privy to. You don't understand it's actually there. And so if you know it's there, what you're going to do is you're going to come to the seminar with preconceived notions, and you're going to guard it, that part of your heart. When I get a hold of that, I'm going to be hitting you in an area that you have no idea that where it's coming from.
All right. This is,
so you won't be able to defend against it, and so I'll be able to reach you.
Well, you're not going to be reaching for rib spreaders, we hope.
No.
All right.
I know it sounds like I'm attacking you, but really what I'm doing is I figured out over a 10-year period, not necessarily that the laws were a problem or anything was a problem, it was the imaging that the people had gone through that was the problem.
And what will you be re-imaging them to?
I won't be re-imaging with them with anything. What we'll be doing is taking those images away. And as those images are taken away, the natural law within your heart starts coming to light.
All right. Those images are things that I've referred to over the years as sacred fictions. So
yeah.
you remove those layers, you peel away the onion, and you get to the heart. And now, what exactly will they be doing with the knowledge of the law through their heart?
What they'll be doing is going back to the original TENS jurisdiction, understanding what that is, basically county, taking back their own authority, taking back their own thought process, de-imaging themselves, understanding what that is, and once they understand what it is, then they're able to do it to themselves automatically. You will recognize certain things when things start happening to you.
All right. Now, Ken, I'd like to talk about specifics, actually. They are, let's talk about authority. Authority is inherent within us as children of Yahweh. Would you agree with that?
That's correct.
All right. So now the problem for many becomes, how does one express that authority and enforce that authority, even if one is stripped of the outer layers of the onions? And you have certain tools for doing that.
Yes.
You
have to start looking at it from a different point of view, because the current system or officials that are there now know the authority of the District of Tens, Fifties, Hundreds, and Thousands. So it won't necessarily be enforcing it. These things will just begin to happen naturally. I know that sounds nuts, but once you're there, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
All right.
There's no force necessary, because this is just a natural thing.
Okay, but people being people, we can expect that there will be a wide range of response from officers and agents of the United States. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
All right. So let's look at a particular issue. I think one of the, judging by my emails, and one of the programs we ran recently, the travel issue is preeminent in people's minds. And the reason, of course, is fairly obvious to any patriot. It's because even if one sequestered himself on a mountain of his own jurisdiction and isolated himself from the rest of the planet, he would probably have to come off the mountain at times. And when he does, he's traveling, and that's when the United States puts out its feelers. It's when it casts its lines looking to snare people or by intimidation into confessing to the status of an armed, religious U.S. person. So you have a document which is titled Absolute Title and De Jure Registration. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And from what I've seen, that document gives notice of a private registration, basically of the conveyance, and notice that the living man is not to be kidnapped. The sovereign and his property are not to be stolen and trifled with. It also provides a photograph of a private license plate that's put on the vehicle. Is that accurate, what I'm saying?
Okay, yeah. You have to go to the meat of the problem.
That's correct. And that's what I think a lot of patriots think in terms of meat and potatoes. They're not big on the salad. They probably should be.
Right. If you're looking at it, it's just a piece of paper with ink on it. So you can say all you want. I've read thousands of documents. You can say all you want. But what it motivates the people to go out, what is it going on in their minds and their thinking to go out and kidnap people off of the street and take them to a jail and say, here, you're gonna get these documents whether you like it or not.
That's correct.
So
amen, no argument there. So how do you handle a situation like that from your perspective?
You go to their bosses. Now look at this from a larger point of view, okay? You have the United States. The United States is just a CEO. President is just the CEO of a corporation. That's all he is. So what corporation are they talking about? So you have to start looking to the basic premise of whoever is liable has the authority.
Well, that's always true. So I will presume that you go to whoever is liable, but not after the fact, after the stock. You use your process in advance.
Before it starts happening.
That's correct. And part of that would be this document, the absolute title and du jour registration, as one of the technologies you use, correct?
Yes, only one. That's just a step of the process.
All right. Now, you used to use a document. I don't know if you still do. It was called Judicial Notice, Abatement in Action, as I recall.
Yeah, we did that.
I don't know if you still use that, but what stands out in my mind is that you gave notice by way of a suggestion that the corporation should post a notice in the NCIC database. That's the National Crime Information Center, which is the FBI's database that is available in the street, so to speak, through the laptops.
Yes, just a step of the process.
So part of your process is trying to enact a change in the first line of defense that the corporation has, which is its computer instructions to its officers, that you're under a do not detain or similar, do not arrest, do not extradite, some sort of order, some sort of status of that sort, correct?
Yes, to a certain extent. But like I said, that is one step of the process because that's not always going to happen because you're dealing with people that do what they think and what they feel. Not what the law is or what's right and wrong. They just do whatever is either profitable for them or I don't understand this, throw it in the garbage. That's going to be on a case-by-case basis. So what we had to do was go to their bosses and deal with them. See, they'll listen to their bosses because the bosses write the checks.
Of course, and it would be the bosses who would put in a notation in the NCIC computer system.
Yes.
Yeah, so how do you, can you explain to us, in general terms, how you do that? What are you doing with the bosses? What kind of process are you engaging them in?
Well, basically, I can tell people this, but the only jurisdiction they can do this from is the Judicial District of 10.
Of course.
That's the only jurisdiction, and there's a process by going there. But first we have to de-image you. Then we have to show that you have to go to get a Bible record because you're not basically accounted for.
Yes. Now, I'm sure listeners to this program, long-term listeners, understand that a Bible is still considered a public record. A Bible is a record that should contain the family's history of nativities and passings, marriages, christenings, baptisms, whatever else is a significant undertaking. I hate to use the word religious, but by religious I mean a significant spiritual undertaking in the presence of Yahweh. Would you agree?
Right, yeah. This is not a religious thing. I'll agree with you there.
Well, are you saying that you're using the Bible to establish a record of status within the districts?
Yes. Yeah, you have to be accounted for because Norton versus Shelby County basically simply states if you have a county commissioner's office, then you have a birth certificate. And a birth certificate is recorded in the county recorder's office. Well, the county commissioner's office was never to be established in the first place. If that was the case, and therefore And a birth certificate was never supposed to be attached to any sort of flesh and blood man, and therefore, it never happened. There was no such authority in the first place. So if that's the case, you're not accounted for.
And how are you providing that notice to the United States?
Well, it's everything happens in the county. You see, you ever notice that the IRS goes to the county?
Yep.
That's where they go.
All right. So you're providing a variety of notices regarding the travel issue, registration, and things of that sort. You're providing notices, obviously, regarding the land issue. I understand perhaps a deed of release and some other documentation. You're setting up general post office as well. What do? You knock a 4x4 into a post in the front yard?
Well, that's how they did it a long time ago.
It sure is. So you establish a post where you post your public notice.
Right, once a week for 3 weeks.
For 3 weeks, you take photographs, you send it to the magistrate or the assumed magistrate, and now
if he doesn't want that, and he's happy where he is, then it is your obligation and responsibility to take that office.
And do you give notice of that? Do you file anything in their fiction side?
Well, the second you send a document with that seal on there, they're going to get notice real fast.
All right, and that one of the documents with that seal, and this is off the top of my head, I would suspect if you're going to assume the vacated office, then there would be a document notifying them of that commission, perhaps a silver bond, and perhaps an oath of office. Do you do anything of that sort?
Not an oath, because it says there in a couple different places in that Bible. That
yeah, all right. Don't even go there. Let me change the word from an oath. I know where you're going with that. You're absolutely correct. Is there a better word in the English language for an oath, a pledge? The Bible doesn't talk against pledges.
Let's put it this way. My allegiance is to Yahweh. My obligation and duty is to Yahshua.
Yes.
Okay? So if you want to do a pledge of allegiance unto the Most High, go right ahead. No problem. But to take an oath to an office, so you have to understand how image training works. So I'll give you a perfect example, and then it'll get people a better idea of what we're talking about here. When a judge says, when a man who is holding that office says, I'm the judge, or he says, this is my courtroom, or he says, I'm the law here, if anybody truly understands how that actually came about, you're looking at a man who was extremely abused one time or another in his lifetime. Now, when somebody abuses somebody else, what it is that man or woman or that boy or girl who's been abused starts becoming their abuser, because the abuser made them feel very uncomfortable about being who they truly were. Who they originally were. So then they have to become something else to get away from that pain. It gets deep. So when a guy says, I'm the judge, then you know that man has been abused in one way or another, because all he really is a man who has fiduciary responsibility to exact the obligations and duties of that office. But he is not the judge. It's just an office. It's given to him in trust by the people themselves. So if he's sitting there saying, I'm the judge, okay, this guy has got some serious mental problems.
And how are you responding when he says, I'm the judge? Are you asking him for his authority to come before your court?
Any type of response other than what I just told you would be probably not working very well. We have had people that go in there and tell them, I really, truly feel for you because you've been extremely abused, and those judges will come to tears and go back in their chambers. It's absolutely true. You hit them in the spot that needs to be hit, because you have to go to the problem and deal with the problem. You can throw all kinds of statutes and everything at him and say, I'm the court, and try to overcome him. But that's not the problem. The problem is, you've got a guy there who was scared, number one. his first reaction is, I'm the judge. When somebody says, I'm the judge, they're scared to death.
Yeah, so I may have missed what the response was in real-world terms. How would you respond to that?
He can't be the judge because he's holding that office in trust.
Yes, and how would you make that how would you make that point to him?
It is his fiduciary responsibility to exact the obligations and responsibilities of that office, but he cannot be a judge, so therefore it's a false statement.
That's
the way it works.
That's what you would tell him?
Absolutely.
And would you appear at all in that form, or would you respond simply with another document from
you? You have a fiduciary responsibility, okay, to protect the county. And your county, which is your land, and everybody else's land that's held in trust, it is your fiduciary responsibility to hold that. Now, usually it's dealt with debt. So if this guy's saying, I'm the judge, all right, first of all, he's intimidated. Number two, he's getting scared. So you've come really close to the truth. And the truth is this, okay? And I'm not really even giving a whole lot away of what we're going through in the seminars, okay?
I'm going to have to interrupt you, unfortunately. We're at a break, and then we're coming back just for a couple of minutes. But we'll continue that point.
Okay, I'll tell everybody what really is going on.
And when we return, I'll ask you the golden question. Since I've never heard a judge say, I'm a judge, what would you say if he asked you who you are? Folks, we'll be back in 2 minutes. Don't go away for the wrap-up. I think we have some more interesting information you'll enjoy.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had 2 mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare with your children being raised by someone else? With our free information, you can lead a less stressful life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was about to be laid off from a company that was going bankrupt. On top of that, I wanted my kids to have mommy care, not daycare. My first month, I made $1,000 part-time. After 90 days, I was home with my children. And for the past 7 years, I've been here for my three little girls. I love this business.
Go to freedom94.com. Get out of the rat race and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I was skeptical. However, I had to get out of corporate America. Both me and my wife were able to quit our jobs and now make over $10,000 a month from home.
Go to freedom94.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom94.com. Freedom94.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
Welcome back, folks. This is the final segment. We're here talking with Keith Livingway. Before I get 100 emails, let me just mention the case that Keith mentioned is Norton, as in Ed Norton, from the Honeymooners, versus Shelby, S-H-E-L-B-Y County. That's 118 U.S. 425. It's a very interesting case. I'm sure you'll enjoy reading it. It will, if you don't have the sense of the difference between the terms de jure and de facto and how the de facto government came to be, this case will do a lot to speed along your education. Before we run out of time, Keith, why don't you mention when the first upcoming seminar is, please?
March 8th and 9th at the Ramada Inn in Shelbyville, or on Shelbyville, Kentucky.
And if someone's interested in attending, how would they contact you?
We need RSVPs because we can only take 30 people at a time. So if there are more than 30 people, you're going to have to go home. So it's best just to do the RSVP.
Well, how would they contact you to sign
you
up
can,
for the
you
seminar?
You can do it through sovereignswithoutsubjects.com. There's an area there where you can do that.
Repeat that again, please.
Sovereignwithoutsubjects.com.
Sovereign, not sovereigns.
Right.
Sovereignwithoutsubjects.com. And do you have a personal email address that people contact you at, or should they do it through the website?
Oh, just do it through the website because I'll be overloaded. I have dial-up. So.
Okay, well, let me remind you what Pat, who works for Winston Shrouds, actually what Winston said to me that Pat said. Winston said to me that Pat cannot understand why anyone would take advice from a man who doesn't know his own zip code. So the same might be said for dial-up, Keith. It's time to move into the Middle Ages.
Well, you know how it is when you're out here in the sticks.
All right. Would you want to continue this dialogue on the next program?
Yeah, that wouldn't be a problem. I did want to finish that one last thing. Do I have a little time?
All right. Well, my question to you is, when the judge says to you, who are you, how do you respond?
An uninsured person. What they're doing is they're implementing FDIC insurance regulations. That's all they're doing. That's what the birth certificate creates when it's deposited in the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is not the boss. The FDIC is the boss.
And sir, do you have a name that you attach to that uninsured person? What name do you go by?
Oh, me? Privately?
You privately. The judge is asking.
Oh, that would be in the Bible record.
So you would present the Bible record?
Oh, absolutely, because that would mean that you would be uninsured. To them, so you're a person. The person can't leave the courtroom, but you can.
So you would be introducing the Bible record at the beginning, and this is for the sake of all those patriots out there who may go off right now when they hear your voice and walk into court and express their sympathy and empathy for the deluded judge. You would introduce the Bible record early.
Right, because he's not a judge. He is nothing more than administering insurance policies.
Yes, point well taken.
You see, so that's why that wouldn't even really be an issue if you're dealing with the now if you're dealing with the judge, that's completely different because that's only in the District of 10. But if and that would be an actual serious crime or some of that nature, or you had destroyed public property in some way.
Yes, an actual crime where there was an injured party.
Yeah, whether you killed somebody or raped somebody or stole something or some
yes.
of that nature.
Yeah.
But actually, all
they're
doing is implementing FDIC insurance regulations.
Yes, all right, very good. So we'll continue this dialogue next week. Keith, thank you very much for joining me, and I'm sure people will enjoy the seminar and find it very educational. Thank you very much for appearing here today.
No problem, appreciate it.
Folks, timing is not my strong suit, but there is the music, so I must have gotten a good night's sleep. Thank you for joining me, ladies and gentlemen, and I appreciate